Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 97 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Take two.
We just had some technical difficulties.
And I forgot to bring the good microphone, so apologies for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to start by thanking everybody for all the nice tips, tricks, and sympathy you've sent out to me about the plantar fasciitis thing. I'm not feeling any better yet, but I know it's a long recovery process, so I'm trying to just be really patient. And I was given the boot by my doctor yesterday, a big clunky boot. So, yeah, for those of you who are local who see me hobbling around, that is why.
It's sad.
Yeah. It's like when dogs get the cone.
The boot of shame.
The boot of shame.
It is better this time.
Yeah, see? All right. So, Cardi Party, hit it.
we are still having our cardigan knit along. Started October 1st. It goes through the end of November. And there's been a ton of participation already. And I'm really excited.
Some of you people are overachievers, but that's okay. There's some people who finished two cardigans already.
I know, it's really awesome. And I'm totally impressed.
Hats off to you all.
So you can just knit a cardigan. Doesn't have to be for you. Could be for anyone. Strangers, pets, strange pets.
It'd be weird if you're knitting. Don't knit for, strange. That's weird. Just walking up to people on the street. I made you a sweater. Have we met?
No. Like about the right size.
Yeah.
And one of the prizes will be a custom fit pattern. That has been generously donated by Amy Herzog.
Yay.
And so if you've been wanting to try it and been putting it off, now is the time. You can knit any cardigan, be entered to win, regular rules apply, and you might be able to try it for free. It's pretty awesome.
It is.
And then I wanted to thank people for their iTunes reviews. We had asked, I don't think it was this last episode, the one before, I had asked people to do some of those because we haven't gotten some in a while,
really,
but I went through and read some and we've gotten multiple and they're so nice.
Aww.
And someone said they didn't mind the cat, who's now 20, appearing on the podcast. She's deaf, which is why she's so loud. So thank you very much for that. It's very nice.
Thanks,
support
everybody.
All around. It's lovely.
Yay.
And because you've been in your boot, you've been knitting lots of stuff.
I've been knitting so much. I spent the entire month. I wanted to do single skein in September, but with not doing anything but sitting on my tush and watching TV, I've done so much. So a condensed version is that I knit three patterns from Head to Toe Kids Knit Accessories by Katja Frankel, which we were given copies to review about a year ago, and at the time I said, I want to knit everything in here, and I'm getting really close. This time I knit Coldstream, which is a hat with a little, chevron seed stitch pattern. Willem, which is a simple twisted stitch rib cap. And Dabbler, which is a cute little pair of mittens that has 2x2 rib on the cuff that extends in different lengths onto the back of the hand. And those are all really quick. And the other thing, too, is that we had done a stash swap, I think, the last time we talked. We had just done it, or just before. And then, so I was given a lot of, partial skeins or single skeins by people.
Oh, yeah, because you talked about weaving, so we talked about
the
swap.
Yeah. So, those three items were all done with yarn given to me by people in
awesome.
Pearly Girls. I did the two hats in Ultra Alpaca that was given to me by Sharon, and Dabbler was done in a skein of yarn that that Jody gave to me, so thanks you guys for that. I also knit two items from Romy Hill's The Great Oddments Knit Down.
I love the name of that.
And I love the idea of it, too.
Yeah.
So I did the Fairy Snow Cap, which is a really cute...
Is that the one with the giant pom-pom?
Hers has a giant pom-pom. Mine has no pom-pom,
missed opportunity.
It's knit from the top down, and it has a twisted stitch. I think of it as a leaf motif that radiates out, and then it goes into twisted rib. But when I was done with it, before I made a pom-pom, I weighed it, and I had used exactly half my yarn. So I had enough to do a whole other hat, but if I made a giant pom-pom,
that'd no be like hat. The rest of the skein, though.
Right, I know. But I decided to save it for another hat. And then I also knit the Elven Cloche from the same book, which is a really fun little knit. It is kind of what it's like the little kind of cloche style hat that has a giant single leaf motif on the top.
Right.
Really, really cute. Biker gang's better. Yeah. We're like on the same schedule as the biker gang.
Yeah.
And that was done with the Knit Picks palette that I had replied, and overdyed. So it was like three strands of Knit Picks palette held together. I knit a little baby hat called Otis, which is a free pattern on Ravelry by Joy Both, I think is how you might say it. That is, that took the cable pattern from the little Milo dress. That's another pattern on Ravelry, but just made it into
like a tunic or dress.
Yeah, and it's just got a simple little cable in it. And then I also knit that with some, I think it was Malabrigo Rios again that I got at the... people gave to me to knit charity stuff with. I knit ferns from Botanical Knits 2, which is a little beret with a fern type motif. Done mostly twisted stitch, and I did that in Ultra Alpaca that I got from Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. I knit alfalfa, which is quite possibly the cutest little pixie style baby hat ever. That's a free pattern from the Fiber Company, but I knit it in Malabrigo worsted that I got from Amanda. Thank you, Amanda. It's adorable. It's just, it's kind of fun because you start by doing, like you're doing kind of a chevron thing where you're increasing in one spot and decreasing in a different spot to create like a peaked cap so that it comes down on the forehead and then down over the ears.
Oh, okay.
So it makes a little peak, but then you keep, over the course of the head, you keep moving where the increases and decrease happen. So it comes up to this point, like big elfy pixie hat point, but it's shaped because you keep changing the direction on it.
Oh, okay.
And then it's got little kind of other little eye cords on the side. I think little eye cords on the side. Super cute, really fast knit, very entertaining to knit. Kind of, it's like one of those ones where it's like you got to pay attention a little bit because you mark different spots. And sometimes you're increasing those spots, sometimes you're decreasing, and it keeps changing. So it kind of keeps you on your toes. I knit a Declan's hat, which is another free cabled cap pattern on Ravelry by Samantha Kirby. And that was written for Brooklyn Tweed Shelter, which I did knit it in. And I find that yarn really floppy. Like,
it's not very elastic.
No, it's terrible for ribbing.
Yeah.
So the ribbing on the hat is just like... ugh. Totally.
Yeah,
I don't know if that translates really well to a podcast flow, but it's just kind of limp.
It doesn't have any bounce back. So
no.
Even when you knit it on a much smaller needle to try and get it to draw in, it doesn't.
Yeah. So I wouldn't suggest that as a great yarn for hat knitting, or at least not for a hat that
depends on
ribbing.
Yeah.
To pull it in.
Unless you're willing to like sew elastic thread into it or something.
Yeah. Because it definitely flares at the bottom. I knit a magic coffee baby hat, which is just a little striped baby hat with a little loop of eye cord at the top.
Cute.
With more of the leftovers from the Malabrigo that I got from Amanda. I knit a Bailey from Tin Can Knits with a little ball of Malabrigo Rios.
That's a cute one.
Which is a fun pattern. And then I went to photograph it and realized I'd knit one line of stockinette through the garter stitch. And I was like, oh, man. So I was trying to style it for the photography, like squeezing that together so people wouldn't see that. So you don't know all my mistakes.
But now I'm telling you.
Shh, don't tell anybody else that I make mistakes. I knit Terzetto, which is another free Ravelry pattern. I'm sorry, I didn't write down the designer's name. Which is a really cute pattern that's just got little triangles done in texture stitch in ribs. And I knit that with some Laniloff worsted I got from Sharon. Really nice free pattern. I just thought it's a really easy pattern because once you... like see the triangle pattern, you don't ever need to look at the pattern again. It's just really intuitive. I knit a slouchy bubbles hat, which is another freebie on Ravelry. It's a bulky weight slouchy hat, although mine isn't very slouchy because I didn't have a ton of yarn. Done in with kind of a big braided cables. And I was just kind of in the mood for texture, and I did that in some 128 superwash that I got from Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. I knit a one skein Noro spiral hat, which I think has been on my to-knit list before Ravelry existed, or right around the same time Ravelry existed. It's just like it sounds. It's just a spiral eyelet.
Oh, I know what one that is. Yeah.
It's, and I knit it with a partial skein of Spud and Chloe's sweater. That, this is how old this is. The sweater has been in my stash since Meg had her first, her baby, who's now like 3.
Yeah, because she's like a couple years younger than Audrey.
Yeah. I knit a transistor hat, which is from a Knit Scene Accessories, which was a fun little sideways garter stitch stripe hat that's done with short row wedges.
Yeah, I think I have that issue.
Yeah, it's a really fun hat to knit and great for scraps because I had 3 colors of Cascade 220, all of which I got from people de-stashing partial skeins. And it doesn't take, I don't know exactly how much it takes of each color, but it doesn't take a lot. So that's a really good stash buster. It's a very entertaining knit. You're doing all these little short rows and the stripes. Quick, fun knit. But in the same issue, there was, in the same, even the same story in that issue, is a hat called Ampere's. And it is done in a bulky weight, and it's really interesting construction. You knit one triangle, lace triangle, a big one, mm-hmm. and you knit 2 little lace triangles. You start the triangle from the tip. So you knit one really big and one you only do, or 2 of them you do then smaller where you don't continue on as much. Then you, from the base of the triangles, you leave those stitches live. You put them all on a needle together and join them into a loop.
Okay.
And then knit ribbing down from there. Oh,
interesting.
And then you, it's like, it's hard to visualize, but you fold the tip of the big triangle in between the bases of the smaller triangles and then sew the sides of the big triangle to one of each of the small ones.
Me.
I know.
Lost me there.
So it's
I
really,
had it.
Really interesting construction, but it doesn't make a hat that fits. And I kind of worried about it looking at the model in the magazine, like,
it's like socks with
construction. I don't know. Yeah. And it's like, it was interesting to knit. And I used again my, the yarn that for the, that Knit Picks palette that I'd plied together. But it just doesn't, it doesn't work. It makes a really weirdly shaped, funny hat that just doesn't fit, doesn't, is, and I'm thinking I'll probably rip it all out and then reuse the yarn because I love the yarn. And it feels like kind of a waste. I knit 42, which is a freebie on Ravelry that's just a really simple cable rib hat. And I did that in some...
Does it have 42 cables?
You know, it might. I don't know. I didn't really dig into it. The same designer also has one that's called like 33, but I thought the one that was 33 was done in a lighter weight yarn. So then I was like, because it's not the stitch count. I don't know. I'm not sure what it relates to. Maybe, I don't know. But it's, I did that in Cascade 128. Then here's my funny story. I got a funny story.
Just one.
Just one. That's it, and then I'm done. Interweave came out with a new magazine that's called Make It Knits.
Yeah.
And it's very beginner-oriented. There's informational articles in it that are aimed at beginners. And all of the patterns in it are previously published patterns. So if you're someone who's been reading Interweave and Knit Scene for the last 6 years, you won't want it because it's got patterns that are all previously published. Mm-hmm. However, if you're a new knitter and you didn't read Knit Scene 3 years ago, you might find stuff in it that you like. And there is a hat on the cover that I was like, oh my gosh, I love this hat. And I looked it up and it's called Amstel and it's by Courtney Kelly from Fiber Company.
Oh, I think I, yeah.
And
that's very familiar
to like,
me.
Oh, I love this. And it was in an, it was an Interweave Knits fall 2012.
Oh.
And I ran home, pulled it off the shelf, and I'm like, I love this. I'm knitting this right now. I had an extra skein of Malabrigo from the Stash Swap worsted cast on. It's knit from the top down in a chevron texture where you're doing like chevrons in seed stitch and chevrons in reverse stockinette. And then plain, but anyway, really cute, top down, finished with rib, yay. And when I finished it, I went to enter the project on my Ravelry page. Uh-oh. And I said, hey, I'm still hat. And it was like, a new one or the one you already knit? And I was, what? And then I had to go back and read on my own blog, because I have no memory of this, that 2 years ago, nearly to the day, the Fall Interweave Knits came out. And I went running home because I love the hat pattern. And I cast on and I knit the hat. This was 2 years ago when I did like the crazy single skein right. September when I had my sinus infection. And I love the hat and I knit it right away. But and then I donated all the stuff that I knit.
Yeah, okay.
So it never hung around. So it didn't, obviously it didn't sink into any like deeper That's levels hilarious. Of memory.
I can't but believe
it's,
it.
And I even blogged about it saying, I never knit stuff in the current issue, but I just love this so much I had to knit it. So I did it twice. I had no clue. Like, the whole time I was knitting it, I'm like, la, 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 la. Nothing is going... This is familiar. No, I had no inkling at all. I was so confused. I was like, really? I had to, like, look at the picture, and I'm like, I don't know if I actually remember knitting that. But it must have been one of those things, like, I was homesick. I knit it once. Mm-hmm. I donated it. I never looked at it
and
again.
You're gonna, you knit it again.
And now I did it again. So obviously, I like that pattern. And then, oh, and then one other thing, which is really silly. So I've been, I love my Helix Stripe stuff, but the manager of the Starbucks that I go to, she always comments on how much she loves. I have these plain little cup cozies that I knit,
mm-hmm.
like totally plain little. Sleeve for my cup, but she's when I went to get coffee last week, it was the first time I was getting hot coffee for a long time, and she went, yay, the sweater's back, and she's like holding it and she's like, I love this. So I thought, oh, I should make her a cozy because she loves them so much. But then I had this moment where I was like, I can make Helix Stripe coffee cozies. And then because I'm psychotic mm-hmm. and I have to use every last bit of yarn, I've made two of them, and each of them only had 19 grams of Lamb's Pride. I used the leftover Lamb's Pride from the woven scarves okay. and some of the Lanoloft that was left over from the Terzetta that I knit. And I knit up two of them. I mean, they take like an hour or something to knit. There's no time at all. But they're really cute. And now it's like, and now I have yet another project for using the most minuscule quantities of yarn possible. But they came out really cute. They're all.
Did you give her one?
I didn't yet because I knit two of them. And one of them I immediately went to block before I wove the ends in. And the other one I wove the ends in, but I didn't block. And the one I didn't block looked like it hadn't been blocked yet. It mm-hmm. looked a little rumply. But the other one I didn't have the ends woven in time to give to her. So I used the rumply one on my own cup, and she was like, she noticed it was a new one, and she's like, oh, cute. And I was like, oh, okay. So I haven't seen her yet, so I've got to go back and give her, I've got it in my purse to give to her.
Look how excited she is.
I know, but I get, it's so funny. I mean, so Wes has one that's like plain gray, mm-hmm. and I have one that's just plain, like
green,
burgundy. Actually, it's burgundy. I mean, leftovers from sweaters from bygone eras.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they take no time at all to make. But every time you hand your coffee cup to someone to fill, they're like, oh, they like, it just, it always gets a great response. So, and it keeps your coffee nice and warm. So, okay. Way better than that little paper thing they put on it.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, the paper thing.
I have a double insulated ceramic one, so it doesn't really get cold. But I'm wondering how they would react to this sweater coffee cozy thing.
They'd like it. They like it. They do. They love it. Everywhere we go, people love it. And then I realized, too, I use it sometimes in the summer, too, because it's really good for, you know, if you have a cold drink and it's sweating.
Yeah.
So it's a great little gifty thing, and it takes no yarn at all. So, whew, okay. And then there were, like, countless other little plain hats that I won't even bother to go into the details
of. So what are you doing with them? Are they going to charity?
I'm
going to
donate them all. We were contacted at the shop by Warm for Winter, which is a local charity, so I think I'm just going to donate them there.
So do they want a variety of hats? Or?
They usually do. I didn't even look at their appeal specifically, but if they're only looking for like adult stuff, I'll just sift the kids' stuff off and send it somewhere else.
Well, I would like to know because I have some hats I've knit and they are charity ready.
Okay, great.
Depending on what their guidelines are.
Yeah, we've had a few. We always have requests for it this time of year, so
okay.
There's always places to to give them.
All right.
And then, then what I'm currently working on is, I started knitting Forest Floor from Botanical Knits. Is it one or two? I want to say Botanical Knits 2? Maybe
that
one.
That sounds right. I'm not sure.
It's a kind of fancy cable-y situation that I'm knitting in,
It's a situation.
In rain, rain shadow yarn. Olala, which I got at Madrona years ago. It's nature dyed. It's like a merino cashmere silk. It's really nice. The pattern's really is not like super intricate, but you know, it's not a like you can space out and watch TV mm-hmm. while you knit it kind of thing. You gotta watch your chart. So I haven't been plowing through that. I've been working on that for a couple of days. But it's really pretty, and the yarn is really nice. And it's nice, too, because it's clearly been made at, like, at a smaller mill, so it's not, you know, it's almost like knitting with hand spun. It's a little less uniform, and then it's nature dyed, so kind of a brownish green.
An earthy, rustic feel.
Yeah, it feels like real yarn, like handmade yarn, and I always like that.
Cool.
So, whew! All right, that's my ridiculous list.
But you haven't started your custom fit yet?
I haven't. I've got the pattern all ready to go. I decided what I'm going to do. I'm mm-hmm. going to use Moonbeam from Dicentra, which is a Polworth silk blend that I bought at Madrona last year on a whim. And I bought several skeins in gray and then one skein in, like, a bluey green and another skein in a different bluey green. And I don't know what I was really thinking because... I dithered for a long time because there's not a lot of contrast between the two other colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do something kind of inspired by patterns like Funky Grandpa or Polly or whatever. So I'm going to do a deep V-neck cardigan, and I'm just going to do stripes for the cuffs and at the bottom of the sweater. Until I run out of contrast yarns and then finish it all off in the gray. And I have decided for this one, I'm going to knit the body in one piece because I am not good at seaming stripes.
The stripes, yeah.
I never get them lined up quite the way I want, and it's like,
that's really
it
hard
should
to
just
do.
Be easier to just knit it in one piece there, but I'll still knit the sleeves flat and sew them in because
mm-hmm.
I prefer the look of that than to pick up and knit them down.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. That's my plan, and I've got the pattern all ready and the yarn ready to go, but I'm really enjoying plowing through the hats. I have like a giant vat of yarn and just watching the level go down mm-hmm. and then finding new weird little bits of things. I'm totally jazzed for it. It's exciting.
Gotta go with it.
Yeah. I'm having fun, so
cool.
Why stop the party?
So sorry if my noodles are clicky. I don't know.
Nah.
Cookie tonight or something. let's see. I'm going to start with my finished objects. I finished my Pretty Me by Nadia Cretin-Lechen, and that is from the ebook Emma Touflage. I didn't write that part down, so I had to remember it. That was hard. and I knit that in Neighborhood Fiber Company Studio Sport in the Del Rey color, which is a golden yellow. And it's done. I have to put buttons on, but I want to do Grosgrain because it's a super wash.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to try Ladybird, who was a sewing portion of the outfit along. She knits. She did this little tutorial on her blog, ladybird.com. It's Ladybird with two L's. About how she sews buttonholes in the ribbon.
Oh.
So you, like, mark it and make buttonholes on your sewing machine and then sew it down.
Okay.
And so you can button through both layers.
Cool.
So I'm going to try that.
So
it holds its shape.
Yeah, knitted buttonholes. I think that's part of my anti-button thing is knitted buttonholes, I feel like,
are always
too floppy.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm wearing my hand-spun Linnie today. And I was having a conversation with a customer, and the whole time I was kind of running my hand up and down the button band because I wanted to button this, and I could not, like, discern the location of the buttonholes in this because I made them as tiny as possible so they wouldn't get all stretched out. But then I must have looked like a complete insane person because I was like, wait, I found one. And then I was like, nope, but that's not the bottom one. And then, oh, there's the other one. Mm. But I've really realized over time that you can make knitted buttonholes minuscule and still jam a giant honking button through them.
Yeah.
Because they stretch so much, but then they don't pop back open.
Yeah, so you measure your ribbon just like you would if you're just hand sewing it in. And then, because you do have to hand sew it in, because I would not machine sew that in. But then you mark the placement of the knit buttonholes that you've made, and you basically make sewing machine made buttonholes where those knit buttonholes would be. And then you sew it on so that those line up. So you have your knit fabric, and behind that is the ribbon with the sewn reinforced buttonholes, and they are the size of your button. So when you button it, it doesn't really pull on your knitted fabric as much, which I think is genius.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Although it also involves like pulling out a sewing machine. And
yeah, which I've been doing. So I haven't put my sewing machine away since the outfit along. I've been still sewing. So it's out already.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to try that. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
That sounds like a cool plan.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Someone on the custom fit board on the FO thread just in the last day or so, she did like the most amazing finishing job on a zipper that she put on where she had an edging and then she knit basically like another facing for the back of it that like enclosed the edge of the zipper. So she had two layers of knitted fabric that then hand-stitched the zipper between that little sandwich of fabric. It looked so nice. I mean, I'm like, sure
that sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it looked
good
great.
For her,
I mean, good. It was cool, and she's got a lot of information about what she did if people are interested in like a good way to add a zipper to a knit because
that's really cool.
Yeah, it looked really good. Sorry,
I'll have to look at that. Anyway, so I'm going to do that, and I'll let you guys know how it goes. And I'm knitting my simple Skype or SKYP socks right here. They're kind of crazy.
There they are.
Yeah.
Yay.
And that, it's a free pattern on Ravelry, and I knit it out of Lorna's Lace's December Ribbon Candy, which kind of is like a zombie Halloween color as well. That Jean gave me at the swap.
Yes.
And so that yarn is pretty much gone.
Excellent.
I have a little bit left. And they kind of turned out stripey.
Yeah, they sure did.
With, like, a big splash of gore right across the top of the jacket part.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I like them. And Jean saw me knitting them. She's like, see, that's much nicer than anything I tried to knit out of those. Because the yarn was already wound and stuff.
Mm.
I think she was mad at the yarn.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't turning out how she wanted. And I finished Silky by Gudrun Johnston, the Shetland Trader. I knit that. It's sitting
in
right there.
Aaron.
Yeah, it's Imperial Stock Ranch, Columbia 2-ply.
It's the Columbia?
Yeah, Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And the Cactus Blossom color, which is a purpley pink kind of.
Magenta.
It's nice. And I washed it in pretty hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was like kind of ropey feeling. And it just like plumped up. It's all nice now. I might wear it tomorrow.
It's a great yarn.
It is a great yarn. And I just knit that. It's knit flat, so it's a really long cowl, and you just knit it flat back and forth, so you can basically use any yarn you want and just keep going.
Right, and then just stitch
it. Yeah, and I had two skeins, so I used up the two skeins, and then you sew it together.
Perfect.
And that's kind of like a, I don't know, what'd you call that? Like a windowpane kind of pattern?
Yeah.
It's reverse stockinette with these kind of diamondy
lozenges.
Yeah. I like it. With built-in I-cord on either side.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's nice. And it was easy to knit. What am I working on?
Well, what's in your hands?
Oh, so I am knitting a custom fit sweater. A few weeks ago, I went on a mini Twin Peaks-themed road trip. If you don't know the movie, or the movie and the TV show, Twin Peaks, this is a David Lynch show from the 90s. Was filmed mostly in the Seattle area with a couple locations in California, the gas stations in California, something else. But the Double R Cafe is actually a cafe in North Bend, Washington, That's called, like, Tweedies. It's not very good.
Yeah.
The original, like, interior was burned. And they had a fire. It was caused by, like, someone said on purpose. It was arson.
Oh, great.
And so all that original cool paneling and everything is not there anymore. So it's just kind of like a greasy diner place. But, you know, they have Twin Peaks stuff everywhere. And they have, like, the hallway to the bathroom is plastered with, like, stills from the movie, from the TV show and stuff. So we got coffee and pie. And then we went to Snoqualmie Falls, which is where the North Lodge.
Yeah.
Right. The Great North Lodge is.
Right.
And did that. And then we went to Tolt Yarn and Wool. And they had just gotten in their Quince and Company shipment, mm-hmm. which included Owl, which is their alpaca wool blend. I'd seen the yarn before. It, like, stitches west. Verb mm-hmm. for Keeping Warm carries it. But they didn't have Tweet, which is, like, the newest one, which is, like, a tweedy kind of nubby wool, the wool alpaca blend. So it's, like, a burnt orange with kind of some dark brown black, I guess, mm-hmm. it would be. It's heathered, and it's beautiful. I love it. It's very light and lofty. Like, I knit Bailey out of the Broco Alpaca, Ultra mm-hmm. Alpaca, where that's, like, drapey and soft. This is, like, soft and lofty and, like, very airy feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's totally a different kind of alpaca wool knitting experience. So this is a custom fit sweater. It's just a very plain stockinette cardigan with garter edging, 3/4 sleeves, and, like, a lower crew neck. So it's not, like, a scoop neck, but it's not, like, the high crew neck.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the wool was so, like, tweedy and kind of textury, I didn't want to fight with that.
Yeah.
And I think I'll have one skein left over.
Okay.
So we'll see. I was, like, playing with the custom fit stuff to see what I could do with it, and this is, like, the best option.
The funny thing is, so with my personal experience with custom fit, I felt like the yardage estimator, which is still, like, listed as, like, a beta feature, I thought it was fairly accurate, but now that we've been weighing... So we started a custom fit knit along at the shop, and in the last 2 weeks, we've measured over 60 customers.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And now people are bringing their swatches, and we're measuring them, and we're weighing them, and we're getting mm-hmm. their patterns generated for them. And most of the yardage estimates, Kathy and I are like, that looks low to me. Like, for some reason, they seem, like, consistently a little too low.
Really?
Yeah. But the 2, 3 that I did for myself, I thought, like, no, that seems right. But now I'm doing these other ones, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know about that. So I don't know if it's, like, just because we're looking at a bigger sampling suddenly, or whether I'm just skeptical and it's actually just fine. But we've been suggesting to people to maybe go a little bit higher than what's stated on the pattern.
Custom fit. Yeah, I was looking at it. I was like, well, that seems about right. So I bought 10 skeins, which for me, so the way custom fit works, you take an upper bust measurement and then you do, like, whatever shaping for your full bust measurement. If there's, like, over a 2-inch difference, I want to say, or 1.5-inch difference between your upper bust, which is, like, right underneath your armpits, mm-hmm. and the fullest part of your bust. So for my size, so, like, when I was knitting sweaters from my full bust, which is, like, a 43, but my upper bust underneath my arms is, like, a 39.5 or a 40, sometimes 41. Like, it just fluctuates a little bit. I think it's usually hovers right around 40. I usually just, for either one, buy about 1,200 yards of worsted mm-hmm. weight. And that seems to be right. And I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. So the Owl is 120 yards, I want to say. So I got 10 skeins.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's totally fine. But then it said 998 or something. And I was like,
yeah.
That seems a little low.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Because for me, too, like, in a worsted weight, we're roughly the same size.
Yeah.
For me, for a worsted weight, I usually think yardage-wise about 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing for customers, and granted, you know, like, one customer, I looked at her number and I was like, gee, I don't know. And then I turned and I looked over at her, and even though we had the same bust size, she looked like she was about 6 inches shorter than I am. So then I thought, Oh, well, maybe that is the difference there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely been getting some of them back where I'm like, So we've just been suggesting to people to get a little bit of extra
just to be on the safe side
because you don't want to be that guy who's stuck looking for that last skein of yarn. So frustrating.
Well, you could do it in a contrast color.
Not if it's just like the cap of the last sleeve. Oh,
yeah. Rip, rip. No, sad. Yeah. Anyway. So, I'm working on that, and I'm on my second front. I've knit the back, and I finished the first front today. And I mean, I've been working on it since that trip, so it's a few weeks now. It's just my bus knitting, because it's mostly stockinette. So, it's like an hour a day. Because when I'm at home, I've been spending quality time with my Twisted Flower socks.
I saw you...
Yeah.
Making progress?
I am making progress. And I'm committed to them
you
now.
You say that a little too emphatically. I am.
I have some crazy in my eye.
A little bit.
So the Twisted Flower Socks is a pattern by Cookie A. And she published it as an independent pattern. And now it's in Knit Sock Love. And it's all twisted stitches. Basically the whole thing.
And very intricate.
Very intricate. It's the most involved sock I've ever knit. I've knit a lot of socks.
Yeah.
And there are four charts, I want to say. And there's patterning on every row. You don't get any rest until you get to the foot. And then the sole of the foot is in stockinette. But I'm through the leg on the second one.
Oh,
and
yay!
Halfway through the
home
heel
stretch,
flap.
Home stretch.
I know. I've been wearing the first one on my foot as I knit the second one.
As encouragement.
As encouragement.
Hoping that foot will talk to your hands a little bit.
Yeah.
Faster hands.
So, I'm seeing progress and I'm working on them every night, but they are very slow because you have to, and I found an error in the first one and it was like right above the heel and I was like, F that ass, I am not ripping that out. Cause it's like, it wasn't even noticeable until I did the second one and I was, it just looks like a design feature. It's not like I got off in pattern or something.
Yeah.
That part will be in my shoe if they ever get worn because they are so intricate.
Instead of just getting framed and hung on the wall.
Gosh. It's like, you knit Bayreuth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think Bayreuth is not as intricate as Twisted Flower. Because Bayreuth, you're doing this, I mean, maybe
it's
24
motifs?
Rows. Yeah, they're little motifs. So you're just repeating them over and over again.
Yeah, this one's like,
But this one is like one big old motif.
Yeah, it's kind of like leaves and then... the leaves feed into this, like, Celtic cable knot thing. Like, a Celtic knot type thing. And then they go back into the leaves. And then you have to shift the stitches after the first repeat so that it's offset.
Yeah.
It's cray-cray.
It's a little involved.
Anyway, so I'm seeing forward progress. It makes me really happy because I'm tired of looking at them. And actually, they were in my... knitting pile of stuff and the top of the first one got a little sun faded, so it's a little sad. Whatever,
moving on.
Not
you're
even gonna
moving on
yeah.
You're just gonna keep moving forward.
Once they get washed a few times, I don't think you'll even be able to know.
You just leave the other one out on the windowsill for a little while.
And it was like, what are you talking about? I was like, all right, cool.
Good,
we're good to go. I crocheted several squares for my sock yarn blanket.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a...
I took them someplace, did I? No, I was like, I had just finished something and I didn't have the brain power to like research another project. So I just pulled that out and did, I think, 3 or 4 squares.
Cool.
Yeah. Scraps.
Yay.
Yeah.
And that's Bear's Rainbow?
Bear's Rainbow Blanket by Pearl Soho.
Pearl Soho.
Yeah, it's the motif is a circle to a square. And so you just crochet all these circles that turn into squares, and then you join them all with one solid color. So I'm just using leftovers of Hazelnut's Artisan Sock as I work through my Hazelnut's Artisan Sock stash, which is copious. I'm going to buy more right around my birthday.
Yay!
That's what I do every year.
That's why we have the sale.
For me, for my birthday.
Chunk sales, just for your birthday.
Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I'm working on is Love and Happiness by Amy Christophers, which is a cowl, and it's XO cable pattern with some seed stitch in between. I am using some Plucky Knitter Primo worsted, and I got it in a not a swap, but someone was having, like, a yarn garage sale that I went to. Like, crafts. They had sewing stuff and yarn and all this other stuff. I got some hand spun. This was a couple of years ago.
I was gonna say, this was a while ago, wasn't it?
I got some hand spun and some Rowan Kidd Classic. And then two skeins of this plucky knitter. And it was a club color.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Bleedin' Armadillo Groom Cake. Like, Steel Magnolias.
Man.
So it's like the inset, it's like red,
red
velvet
red,
cake.
Red.
So
yeah.
It's like,
not that red.
Here, I'll show it to you.
It's not that one. No, it's
not that one. It's
like kind of a purpley.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, ooh, it feels nice.
Yeah, it does feel nice. So I've only gotten, like, a motif done.
Yes, it's a little more brown than I would have expected with that name.
Well, it's cool. A chocolate cake after all.
There
well,
you
it's
go.
A red food dye.
Right.
Or beet juice. However you do it.
All right.
That's it. And you do a provisional cast on, and then you get the pattern as long. I think there are several different sizes, but it's just the length that's different. Not,
mm-hmm.
I don't think the cast on is different. Yeah. So, that's that.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read anything, so you can skip me for that.
Oh, I am reading, I'm currently reading book two of the Guillermo del Toro, Chuck Hogan books.
Mm-hmm.
The Strain, the second one, which I read and I
mm-hmm.
talked about before.
Right.
The second one's called The Fall, and I'm about halfway through.
Still gross?
Still pretty gross. Yeah, yes. Not as gross as... So here's the thing, is like... Because it's a trilogy, like, the first one's all the mystery, and now you kind of know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and it has
okay.
to come to, like, you're just, like, building up a little bit, and it's nuance in the story. It's not a lot of forward movement so far. I mean, I'm at the halfway point, so that's probably what's going to happen for the second half. But it's still good. I'm enjoying it, and, you know, new things come to light about this vampire epidemic.
Mm.
Enjoyable.
Excellent.
You know, there's more flashback stuff happening in the second one, so it's pretty good. And although it's taking me longer to read it because I wake up so early in the morning.
Mm.
Like, by the time I'm in bed, I'm like, 32 pages.
Yeah.
And I read the second book in the Giver Quintet, or Quartet, by Lois Lowry. It's called Gathering Blue. So the first one was made into a movie. I don't know if you saw it. I did not see it.
No.
But it's post-apocalyptic world. And the first one's about a boy. The second one is about a girl who lives in this village. Her mother dies of some mysterious sickness, but she's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl has a leg deformity. And she gets taken in to kind of the inner buildings of the town. And it's a pretty brutal place. Like, the first one was very, like, a kind of a civilized post-apocalyptic town. And this one's, like, men are hunters. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's very, it feels very kind of like Neanderthal.
Primal.
Like, yes. Like, we are hunters and gatherers. Although they're arts people and stuff. So the people who run this village take her in because she is good at embroidery. And they have this, once or twice a year, they have this speaker come and tell the history of the apocalypse. And he wears this robe, or she wears this robe, that tells the story. And so this robe has been worked on over generations, and it has to be mended and then... She has to learn how to, like, dye all the wools and flosses and stuff to fix it, and she's really good with her hands.
Cool.
So, there's some natural dyeing in there. I was very pleased. But the color they're missing is blue, because they don't know about woad.
Okay.
So it's all about, like, figuring out how to get this
blue.
And they think that everyone else outside their small village has died. Dun, dun, dun. And that's the end. So we'll see what happens in the third book.
All right. So I have not read anything, but I have watched an absolutely epic amount of television and movies. Just super crazy quantity. So the last time we talked, I'd forgotten to mention that I'd watched Mud, which is like a coming-of-age film that stars Matthew McConaughey, and a couple of boys find this guy who goes by the name Mud hiding out on this island, and he's telling them these stories about like why he's there, and they don't know whether to believe him. And it was kind of, I had a strange reaction to it where I felt like there's nothing wrong with this film. It's well done, but I felt like it was a little predictable, a little by the book as a coming of age story. Mm-hmm. And I wish they had done more because what they did skillfully. They just mm-hmm. didn't, it wasn't that interesting to me, which I thought was unfortunate. You know, really good performances all around. And then I also watched Dallas Buyers Club, also starring Matthew McConaughey. I was on a little kick there because I'd watched Bernie before too, which obviously he won the Oscar for, as did Jared Leto. And it ties into the last time I was talking about watching How to Survive a Plague. And this is sort of the user side of that period of time where people were going to great lengths to get their hands on non-FDA approved drugs because there were no FDA approved drugs other than AZT. For dealing with HIV and AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And so he plays sort of an unlikely hero, if you will, of someone who puts together this buying club and in conjunction with a trans woman, Rayon, played by Jared Leto. And anyway, it was all really well done. A very good film. But interesting, too, because it covered a lot of the same issues and even, like, some of the same events were covered that
oh, really?
Are documented in How to Survive a Plague, and then this is the fictionalized side of it. I mean, it is based on an actual person, but obviously, I'm sure it's...
You don't mean zombie plague, by
no,
the way.
No, not zombie plague. AIDS plague. Anyway, so then I went back and I finally watched the rest of The Killing because we'd been talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, what a depressing, dark, miserable TV show. I don't know why I kept watching it.
It's great.
Because the first one, the first, you know, storyline
yeah.
is, like, horrible and sad and miserable. Then the second one is even worse. I mean, it's like, if you don't want to watch, and in every single plot line, it's all about children being horribly victimized. And, I mean, like, teenagers, but it's awful. And it also makes Seattle look like a place only an insane person would live.
True that.
It's like perpetual dusk
mm-hmm.
and pouring down rain all the time. Crazy. Anyway, not a huge fan, but I finished it anyway. But then after that, I needed a palate cleanser because it was so depressing. So then I've been binge watching Bob's Burgers. New yeah. favorite comedy. Love it.
Let me just say, I just watched the Archer episode
oh.
where it starts out with
oh,
him
the,
as
the
Bob.
The crossover? Yeah, because
yeah.
John Benjamin does the voice for Archer and the voice for Bob's Burgers. And in Bob's Burgers, he runs a restaurant. So they did a History of Violence
yeah.
Crossover.
So he's Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, my gosh.
But he doesn't know he's, like, a sleeper. Well, he, like, loses his memory and does... He's kind of this sleeper. Like, the
yeah.
Russians come in to get him. And he, like, does all this crazy fighting and... It's bloody
great.
And gory and awesome.
But I love Bob's Burgers. So I'm just really enjoying that. It is very, very funny, silly, animated show. Another show I've been really enjoying, although I believe the only way you can watch it, or at least the only way I can watch it here is on Hulu Plus, not regular Hulu, is a show called Manhattan that's produced by WGN, which I think is Chicago Public Television.
Mm.
And it surrounds the Manhattan Project. So it
oh, cool.
looks at but it's like a soap opera. It's, so
mm.
it's the lives of the people at Los Alamos, where you're looking at the scientists who are brought there to try to create a nuclear bomb and their interactions with each other and the military. But then you've also got their families that were dragged to this compound in the middle of the desert without even being told why they're there. And they're
mm-hmm.
not allowed to ask why they're there. So it's soapy, but I've been enjoying it so far. I like...
Does anybody take up knitting? Because that's what I would do.
I don't remember now. And in Bob's Burgers, though, there's a guidance counselor who's a knitter.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got this... It's kind of funny, though, because he does the classic, like, badly animated character where he's holding the knitting needles where the ends are up in the air and the points are down, which looks like someone who doesn't know what knitting looks like. But then he has a yarn bowl that is, like, this pretty yarn ball with like a spiral cut out of it that the yarn comes out of. So I'm like, how did someone observe knitting well enough? Whoops! Oh, kitty fell.
My cat just fell off her chair.
You're right there, bud.
Shake it off.
Shake it off. Goodness.
She has really bad balance.
Oh. So it was well observed enough that they made this like perfect yarn ball, but they didn't make him look like he's actually knitting, which I thought was fun. Anyway, but and then what's the other thing I've been watching? I've been also watching The Good Wife, which just started season 6. It's an hour-long drama that's been on the air for 5 seasons. I did the math. It's like 122 episodes I've been watching, trying to get caught up. I'm only in the middle of season 3, but I worked it out. It's something like 86 hours of television. I'm halfway there because I do nothing but sit and knit all the time. And it stars Juliana Margulies, which I love her from her ER days, and Chris Noth, and he plays a politician who had a sex scandal, and she's the wife who sort of stands by him during the scandal, but then goes off to have her own career
so at a law Hillary. Firm.
Kind of. Yeah. So, so it's a law procedural, so every episode there's like a case that you're following them through, but then there's a lot of kind of overarching, complicating plot lines of politics at the law firm and the husband, blah, 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 blah. But, not bad, not brilliant, but perfectly good to watch while you're knitting. And then I did see one movie in the theater. My younger son takes Japanese, and to earn culture points for his class, he could go see a movie. So we went to go see a Japanese animated film called A Letter to Momo, which is a really sweet film. It's about a girl whose father has recently died, and after he died, she found a pad of paper where he'd begun a letter to her, but all he'd written was her name. And so she's then, I don't know, I won't say visited, maybe kind of haunted by some like kind of demon goblin-y characters. I mean, like good natured, like funny Japanese-y good natured goblin-y characters. And you don't really understand their role there, and it's about, you know, her and her mom and that. But it's very cute. It's very Japanese. It's a little kind of strange and off kilter, and it's also hand drawn animation, which is
cool,
which you don't see a lot of anymore. No. So it just had a very, like, there are a lot of moments, even though it's sort of this magical storyline, there are a lot of moments that feel really authentic that Wes and I were commenting on after seeing it. So anyway, it's kind of a very cute film. It is not a Miyazaki film. It's not Studio Ghibli. So it's kind of a different spin. And very cute, interesting film. So we made a point. Fortunately here, all the theaters that have been screening it have been publicizing whether they're screening a dubbed version of it or a subtitled version. So
I don't like it when they don't say.
Yeah. And obviously my son, the whole point was for him to see a film in Japanese. So we were able to go see a subtitled version, which is really nice. I don't know if that is a common thing in other cities at this point, but here in Seattle,
I prefer subtitles unless I'm taking Audrey because she can't
read
that fast.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so that's everything I've been watching.
We're working on Go Dog Go right now. Oh. So. It's like 50-50 for words. So.
Pretty good. Kindergarten. Yeah.
Kindergarten.
So, movies.
I watched Pacific Rim.
Silly.
I was disappointed.
Oh, sorry.
I feel like it was too long. Like, the middle third was way too slow and could have been, like, halved.
Yeah.
Like, that whole middle 30, 40 minutes or something could have been, like, 10 minutes. I didn't care about the people, really, at all.
It's very silly.
I wanted more smashing. Because that's what I care about when I see a movie like that.
True.
So, I was like, Noah actually, he was excited to see it too, and he actually got really bored, and he was like, can we fast forward? What decade am I in? Can we skip to the smashy bits? So. And I watched Oblivion with Tom Cruise, and that was fine.
What's the plot on that one?
He and a woman are on Earth after Earth has been invaded.
Oh, right.
There are these, like, stations that are supposed to send energy up to this large spaceship where the survivors are or something. And it ends up that that is not really what's happening. And there are survivors.
Some big cover-up. Yeah.
Alien cover-up. Dun, dun, dun. It was pretty good. It was like, it's straight up sci-fi. Yeah. And I'm not a huge Tom Cruise fan these days at all. Like, I like him in Legend, which is like 1984.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And I could kind of tell what was going to happen or what the twist was.
Yeah.
But it was really well done at the same time. Cool. So, And Stoker, which is amazing.
Is it
totally different?
Is it gross or just creepy?
It's gross and creepy.
Oh, see, that's why I didn't see it. It looked a little too gross. Yeah,
so Stoker stars Mia Wasikowska, and you might know her from Jane Eyre. Yes. Or is, I guess,
or Alice. She was in the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland, and Kids Are All Right.
Mm-hmm. And Nicole Kidman is her mom. In the very beginning, her dad dies. And so it's her and her mom, and they don't get along at all. And she's, Mia Wasikowska's character, is completely antisocial. And I thought it was set in, like, the mid-60s or something, because of the way their house is and how they dress. But it's current day, because she goes to high school. There's, like, cell phones and stuff. And I was like, what is happening?
It's kind of Edward Scissorhandy, like, perfect suburbia.
Well, they live out in the country in this big house that's, like, her mom, like, likes to drink the wine and, like, dress for dinner. It's very kind of creepy country club, I guess.
Okay.
And so her uncle shows up right around her birthday after her dad died. Like, it's her birthday, I think, at his funeral or something, like, during his funeral. Mm. And the uncle shows up that she's never seen before. And the mom is hitting on the uncle. Mm. There's some weird, creepy stuff going on there. But he's also talking a lot to her. And I can't remember what her name is. And she's kind of piecing together this stuff and figuring out that she and her uncle have a lot in common. Like, pathological tendencies.
Yes.
And they bond over that. I'll say that. It's super creepy and dark, and I really enjoyed it.
Is it like a comedy, like a black comedy, or is it just
creepy?
No, just creepy.
Like, parts of it, I was like, that's
the marketing tried to make it seem like it was kind of like black comedy, but no, just black.
I mean, there were parts of it where I was like, well, that's kind of funny in a super dark way, but it was not comedic.
Okay.
But I highly enjoyed it. If you like dark, creepy movies, like dramas, parts of it reminded me of Psycho.
Ooh. Okay.
A little Norman Bates-ish for you? Yes, please. And then Netflix just added season 4 of The Walking Dead.
I am still way behind on that.
Season 6 of Parks and Rec. So,
love Parks and Rec! I know.
I'm waiting for them to add last year's season of American Horror Story. Because usually when they start the new season, they add last year's season. But
they haven't started the new one yet, have they?
I don't know. I thought
they're just started doing the promos for it.
Okay.
Can't watch. Scared.
So I'm like a year behind on that, but that's fine. Because then I can watch it on Netflix.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Good.
Woot woot.
All right, second time was the charm. We got it. We nailed this one.
Yeah, we'll try and record again sooner.
Yes. So we have show notes at doubleknit.net, and you can join us on our Ravelry group, which is Doubleknit Podcast Fans. Mm-hmm. And like we said, there's a thread for the Cardi Party.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I don't know what else I was going to say. There's stuff.
You can follow us on us on Instagram. My username is Erin Burnell. It's all one word. And I guess my link on my about me page on Ravelry. So I put something in wrong, so it wasn't working. But you can find me through my about me page. Everything is linked.
And I'm Liz Kim Nitz. And
that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. Turn into a prayer.
you make me feel.